From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you. It's good to have you listening in to Let the Bible Speak. It's my pleasure to be with you as we return to Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, continuing our two-week study of living in the experience of the power of God. Today we'll be looking at something that many Christians really don't like to think about, and that is the terrible apostasy that is in the modern church, the evidence of Satan at work in the professing church. And we will seek to highlight the answer to that in the experience of the power of God. That's a little down the line. First of all, we turn for our daily devotional Bible study to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. And we're thinking of reconciliation through the blood. Ye are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Though the heathen worshippers in Ephesus boasted that their city belonged to the goddess Diana, Paul emphatically states that they were without God in the world. Their lifeless statue could never replace the living God. Paul further states that they were far off from God. Only the man with clean hands and a pure heart can ascend into the hill of the Lord. All others must stand far off. In contrast to these heathen worshippers, Paul makes the amazing statement that the Ephesian saints were now made nigh to God. What made the difference? Obviously, it was not their personal character that did so. They were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What made the difference? It was the atoning, reconciling blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. The hymn writer asked, "What can wash away my sin?" and answered, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." "What can make me whole again?" "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Through the blood, our position is one of being near to God. Therefore, Hebrews 10:22 exhorts, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith." In other words, let us lay hold of what Christ has purchased for us, and draw near to God in prayer. There are many who refuse to come to God on the basis of the blood. They count the blood of the covenant to be an unholy thing, or something to be despised. Such people can never draw nigh to God. Only the man who knows how to plead the merit of Jesus' blood knows how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And may our plea in prayer ever be nothing but the blood of Jesus. And our thought for the day comes from Dr. Ian Paisley. The blood keeps on cleansing. Its life is unabated, its power is undiminished, its merit is unimpoverished, and its value is unlessened. Regular listeners to Let the Bible Speak will know that here on the program, we like to offer some good and helpful literature. Some time ago, we had a special offer of one of my books, and for a while now, we're making a very particular offer of a book entitled God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of Daniel. It's by my associate pastor, Dr. Michael Barrett, and it answers the question, where is God? A question often asked by skeptics, scoffers, and even by troubled believers. Trials and tribulations of one sort or another crowd people's daily lives. Corruption, conflict, and catastrophe seem to command the world scene. And in the middle of all this comes the question, where is God? There is a new heresy abroad in many parts of the professing church. It's called open theism. It has the idea that God is a good God, God is a caring God, but he is always reacting to what is happening in the world. He is not the God of providential purpose and unfailing control. Dr. Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, the message of the book of Daniel, shows that God, our Savior, is the God of history, and he's the God of prophecy, and therefore he is also the great God of the present, the one who is in complete control. So the message of the book of Daniel simply is, not to worry. The Lord has everything under control. Now you can receive your free copy of God's Unfailing Purpose while our supplies last by writing to us here at Let the Bible Speak. So we look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be happy to send you not only God's Unfailing Purpose, but any of the other pieces of literature that we advertise here in the broadcast from time to time. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be glad to send you Dr. Mike Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of the Book of Daniel.
Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near. Praise him in glad adoration. Praise ye the Lord, oh let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. Gladly for a we adore him.
We return now to Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, and the subject of living in the experience of the power of God. We have been noting that behind the moral actions of men lie unseen powers. Paul rejoiced that he was energized by the power and energy of God. As he tells us in Ephesians 2, ungodly men are energized by the power of Satan. This diabolical energy is evident not only in the world, but also in the church. We have noted its effect in the nation, and the only answer, the experience of a superior power, namely the power of God. But the diabolical energy that is evident in the world is also at work in the professing church. And that's where we take up today's study and go on to note the answer to the great and terrible apostasy of our day.
We are living to witness an unbelievable apostasy in the professing Christian church. The great denominations of Christendom are totally ungodly. Oh, there may be a saved man here and there. I'm in no position to deny that. But they are given to apostasy. They are in total denial of truth. They are in league with the devil. They are energized by Satan. I have absolutely no compunction in saying, if I believe this Bible, and I do, then organizations like the World Council of Churches, like the National Council of Churches, and you could go down a whole lot of other organizations that may or may not mean something to you, so I'll leave them off the list. Not because they don't deserve to be there, but because they may mean nothing to you. They're doing the devil's work and they're energized by that prince of darkness. If you believe this Bible, that's what apostasy is. It's evil men energized by an evil spirit. As Paul put it to the Corinthians, preachers of another gospel and another Jesus, impelled by another spirit, and they're in the church. What's the answer? The answer is not a new council of churches. Now, I'm not against councils of churches. The Free Presbyterian Church in North America is a constituent member of the American Council of Christian Churches. And I thank God for the stand that that council takes for truth and for the work it does in exposing the error that's going on in our day. I'm not against God's people getting together. In fact, the Free Church has always taken the position, let us bring together without compromising the great fundamentals of the faith. Let us bring together men and women, be they Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Episcopal, or whatever, who are separated unto the gospel, who are given to God, and who are willing to take their stand for truth. We have always taken that stand, and we continue to take that stand. But a new council is not the answer to apostasy. What is the answer? It is the one who is stronger than the strong man again entering his church. It is Christ arising and coming in with power to work the work of converting, saving grace through the ministry of his people. This is the answer. And only when the one stronger than the strong man arises in the church do we have that reviving, that renewal, that mighty moving that drives Satan out. And the Lord can do it. Sometimes we think, you know, the day in which we live is unique. I suppose every day is unique in a way. There's never been anything else like it because it's one of a kind. But generally, this is not a unique period. If you've never read Arnold Dallimore's biography of George Whitefield, then I strongly urge you to do so. One of the greatest biographies written. My personal opinion, of course, I'm not an expert, I'm not a critic. Mind you, I can criticize, but I'm not a critic. My opinion, the best Christian biography written in the 20th century was Arnold Dallimore's biography of George Whitefield. When you read the first volume of the opening part, you will be amazed to find the parallel that exists between the day before the great Jonathan Edwards Whitefield revival period and the days in which we live. The uncanny similarities. What was the answer? The answer started in a little out of the way New England town, when God heard the sighing and the crying of America's, probably still America's greatest ever philosopher, theologian, thinker. But it wasn't his philosophy or his thinking that God heard. It was his crying and prayer. And God sent revival. Then came a young English Episcopal priest, George Whitefield, the man who had been drawing beer for drunkards as a teenager. And because he couldn't get on with his sister-in-law, he left the Bell Tavern, ended up in university, became a Methodist. That was not a separate denomination back then. Got saved. Felt the power of God at work in him. And suddenly, wherever he preached, the one stronger than the strong man was there. And that's what changed the social climate of 18th century America. And had it not been for that, this country and its subsequent revolution would have made this nation as base as the revolution in France made France. And as godless too. That's the need of the hour. God's people experiencing God's power. Now, if it's ever to happen to touch the nation, obviously it has to happen to touch the individual. Because you see, this is what happens in the conversion of every sinner. The one stronger than the strong man comes in and he sets Satan's prisoners free. If you're saved, this is your testimony. If this is not your testimony, you're not saved. It's as simple as that. What does he do? He finds you in darkness and he enlightens your minds. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's a divine act. It's the same as at creation. When God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's what he does when he finds a sinner in his darkness. He comes and he says, let there be light. And the very first element in what the Westminster Divines called the effectual calling of the Spirit of God is the enlightenment of mind. While a man remains in darkness, he can see nothing. But God gives him light. As Paul told the Ephesians, once you were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. He enlightens the minds. What a wonderful day it is when the gospel beams its rays of pure light into a darkened soul. People begin to see things. I may mention this a little more tonight, looking at the example of a particular person, but people see things that they had never seen before. The things they thought they saw before, they realized they'd never seen them properly at all. They're now seeing things for the first time. Men see themselves for the first time. Before sinners are saved, they're like Saul of Tarsus. According to the righteousness of the law, I'm perfect. I remember speaking to a young woman about her soul many years ago. Now, if you knew this young woman, you'd know that she was one of the most worldly that ever set foot on the streets of Belfast. She was a very engaging personality, but she was worldly through and through. Yet when I spoke to her about sin and the need of salvation, she just looked at me blankly. I have never done anything wrong. I couldn't really believe what I was hearing, so I put her over it again. And I went to the law of God. And can you honestly tell me you're looking God in the face and saying, Lord, I have never sinned? I've never done anything wrong. She says, no, I have never done anything wrong. Not by her own standard, neither she had. She tried to be nice. She simply set out to enjoy herself. She did her job. She was not a spiteful, wicked, hurtful type of person. So, she had never sinned. But I want to tell you something. Once a person like that has the light of the gospel shine in, they begin to see God in a new way. They begin to see His laws. They had never seen it before. And they then begin to see themselves. And they understand, I am a worm and no man. I am vile through and through. They would say with Wesley, vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of grace and truth. They see themselves. But thank God they see Christ as they had never seen Him before. If you ever want to see how vile sin is, and how strong the devil is, and how bleak the darkness of the ungodly is, just think of this. Isaiah 53, when we shall see Him, there is no beauty, that is, no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. Now let me put it to you, and this will tell you just where you stand before God. What think ye of Christ? Here's the darkness of the unconverted. They can look at some Hollywood star and say, that's beauty. They could look at some ragamuffin behind a microphone, spaced out in drugs, singing the greatest load of satanic drivel, and say, that's attractive. They can find their hearts drawn out after everything that's wicked and worldly, but set Christ before them, the sinless, spotless, pure and holy Son of God, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. They look at Jesus, and when they look at Him, there's no attraction. And I want to tell you, if Christ holds no attraction for you, you're damned. 1 Corinthians 16 makes that absolutely plain and clear. If Christ has no attraction, you're still in the darkness. You've never seen Him. For I tell you, to see Him is to love Him. To see Him as He really is. It's always the mark of a disciple. What we read in John 20, verse 20. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. It's the mark of a disciple. Give him a glimpse of Christ, and it brings gladness to his heart.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.